Many years ago, I came to Dnipro in central Ukraine. Yes. And one devotee approached me with a question. Actually, he's the same whose contact I sent you just now. His name is Raktaka. He's a very nice devotee. He's very making wonderful seminars, but that was many years ago. And he said that there's some problem in the Bhagavad Gita. There are some things in the Gita that it seems Arjuna is asking questions, four questions, and there is no answer. In other words, or like Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says, like very often, it's like somebody is asking, where are you going? And they answer, I ate rice. Or like, that reminds me of three older guys walking. Yeah, this you will not be able to translate, I'm sorry. Three older guys, tough of hearing, walking on the sea shore. And one is saying, it's quite windy today. The other is saying, it's not Wednesday, it's Thursday. And the third says, I'm also thirsty, let's go drink something. Sorry. It's difficult to translate. So, in the fourth verse of the Bhagavad Gita, we have one answer, which I put into the title of today's class. How a sage walks. That was one of the four questions. That was the fourth question. But actually there were four questions. So that was after Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita described to Arjuna how we are all eternal, how we can act without suffering, how we can be in this world without being disturbed, and we can attain peace. So then Arjuna is asking, can you please, so he's asking four questions, which is the first time he's asking questions in the Bhagavad Gita from Krishna, and he's based on his instructions. This is verse 54. So he says, Stita Pragyasya, of this intelligent sage who is peaceful, what is his language? Then, Stita Pragyasya Ka Bhasha, what is his language? Then, Stitadih Kim Prabhashata, how does he speak? Then Kim Asita, how does he sit? And then, Vrajata Kim, how does he walk? So four questions in 54, verse 54. What's his language? How does he speak? How does he sit? And how does he walk? Now, who has read the Bhagavad Gita? Okay, so, some of you studied Bhakti Shastri, but I can still ask, so if you, yeah, it will be strange if I say, if you know the answer, don't raise your hand. Anyway, so yes, what is the answer to the question, how does he speak? Where in the where Krishna answers here in this second chapter Arjuna's question, how does he speak? Bhagavad-dharma is smiling, okay. Misha Prabhu.
I'm speculating, but that's in Sutta Shastra.
Well, it's a good speculation, but no. any other guess or maybe speculation somebody knows? You have a guess?
I have a guess.
Yes?
He only speaks the truth, so what is proven in the Shastra and what is pleasing to the ears.
Oh, yes, what is pleasing to ears, that's actually in chapter 17. austerity of the speech. He speaks pleasing words. Satyam, truthful, satyam, priya, pleasing, and svadhyaya vyasanam, based on the Shastra. Yeah, actually three things from 17:16 about austerity of speech. Yes, that's the austerity of speech, but no, this is not the answer to this question here in chapter 2. Because in chapter 2, Krishna already answers here, but differently. You had some guess?
It's beneficiary and it's not disturbing.
These are two more added to the three mentioned. Yes, it's from the same verse, 17:16, yes. It's truthful, based on Shastra, pleasing, also not disturbing, and also beneficial. Yeah, we got all five austerities of speech. Yes, that's correct. That's 17:16, wonderful. But no, this is not this chapter. This is from chapter 17. Actually, you will not find a clear answer easily here. Because the questions are not actually literal. Because the question about his language doesn't mean, does he speak Slovenian, does he speak Croatian, does he speak English, or does he speak Sanskrit, does he speak Pali, you know, which language does he speak? So Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says no. We already have some little comment in Prabhupada's translation that this first question, what's his language, means what is the definition? Prabhupada says, what are the symptoms? What is the definition of a sage? They say that people, by looking at you for 15 seconds and hearing to you for 15 seconds, can give you a more correct IQ estimation than even your friends. After 15, 20 seconds, half a minute is enough to estimate an IQ of a person. Of course, IQ is not everything. That's not as important as EQ. And EQ is not as important as SQ and CQ. CQ is culture quotient and SQ spiritual quotient. Anyway, so by language we can oftentimes guess. Oh, he's from Maribor. We can guess something, right? Or we can guess he studied this or he studied that. So therefore, it's a code question to have Krishna give a definition. So who is this sage who is always peaceful, knows things deeply, and is undisturbed? So, because then we have the next question, how does he speak? So these look similar, but they're not the same. So his definition, we have one verse, 55, so Krishna says, that this is a person who gives up his mental desires and is satisfied inside. So he is satisfied and he doesn't identify with the desires of the doesn't identify with fantasies of the mind. He doesn't identify with the fantasies. A little later he will say he's like a sea, apuryamanam achalam pratishtam, into which so many rivers flow in, but it remains still undisturbed. It doesn't overflow because of the rivers. So in the same way, the desires can be there, but this person can understand that that's not him. This is just the mind. Like, for example, if you see some advertisement many times, then you think, shall we advertise something? number one recommended toothbrush, Oral-B. So then you go to the store, and then you see, there is Philips, and there is Oral-B. Oral-B? Brown? I don't remember. Oral-B, right? And then you think, I should buy Oral-B, right? Because that's everybody's... I saw 24 advertisements for Oral-B and only one advertisement for Panasonic, plus the price is 4 times different. So, 4 times less. I can also think, do I actually need this new toothbrush if my old toothbrush is still working? Actually, I don't need. I was actually very tempted recently. I went to some shop here. What was, I think, was it Spar or was it Hofer? Not Spar, Hofer. Hofer? And I saw the pulse ur, the heart rate monitor. How do you turn this? You know, this a watch that measures your heart rate. It's good for exercise, so you know what's the. And it costed €9.99. And I looked at it, you know, and it looked okay. It looked like, you know, like a good heart monitor. And I thought, and it's new, and it's nice, and it's cheap. I mean, €9.99. It's pretty. And I said, but I have one. Yes, but that is old. Okay, let me think. I went again around. And I came back again. I looked at it. And it looked really good. And the price looked so nice. Then I thought, but my old one also costed the same price. And it still works. And I rarely use it. And it actually took some effort for me to just, you know, turn away and go away. And not to buy. I didn't buy it. But I was very tempted. I was very tempted. I almost bought it. Because it was good, inexpensive, useful, usable, you know, very, very nice for everything. So, but this is the fantasy or a desire that just pops up, you know. And it's a whole science where they put things in a supermarket. Oh, there's a whole universities are working on it. You know, how, where to put what, which thing. It's a whole science. Maybe some of you know this, how to do this, where things are put. And they change it, you know, so that, because after some time you are used, you just come, go here, here, and out. So then you don't see some other things. So therefore, after 1 year, they change it. So that you go some other, go, where's that thing? Where's that thing? And then you say, oh, what is this? Oh, maybe I should buy. Look at this. And you buy something new. So these are desires of the mind. They are all around us. So then Krishna says, the definition is, you are not identified and you are satisfied in yourself. You know, I'm a soul, I'm an eternal soul. Everything is good. I already have my heart rate monitor in my bag, if I use it. Sometimes I don't need a new one as long as the old one is working. Why do I need a new one if it's the old one is working? And it's not so old. I mean, it's old, but it still looks okay. I can bring it. Afterwards, I can show it to you, actually, if you want. So that's the first question. Then the second question, how does he speak, is actually what we were discussing last Sunday. How does he speak? So these are the next two verses, 56, 57. And there you can actually recognize one word relating to speech. Nabhinandati nadrashti. Like we have abhinandana nitai. Abhinandana means the praiseworthy. Or, yeah, praiseworthy. Praiseworthy. I actually have a lot of nitais here. It's a very nitai-centered temple. Very merciful. Of course, we have the whole Panchatattva here. Yeah, we have also one Gadadhar, no? We have a lot. Yes, it's actually interesting. You should make a study. So, Nabhinandati means he does not praise and he does not criticize when good and bad things come. So that's how he speaks. That's the answer in chapter 2. So that's verse 57. Krishna says, Nabhinandati. He doesn't say, yes! Pizza ki jai! We can say prasadam pizza ki jai, that's okay. Temple pizza ki jai, but otherwise, you know, don't be attached to things. Of course, when you say ki jai, usually something about me, right? Or something connected to my things. So how does he speak? He doesn't praise material things, and he does not criticize. He doesn't hate, and he does not criticize material things. Because we can become entangled. You can become, we get drawn into useless quarrels. Oftentimes we quarrel about such useless things from nothing. So many quarrels begin from nothing. Just misunderstanding. Just simple miscommunication, especially, of course, on internet, because you don't hear, you don't see the expression, you don't hear the voice, and you think, oh, he's attacking me. Like, I remember I got a letter from Shonaka Rishi, our director of Oxford Center for Hindu Studies. So he wrote to me about something, and I told him that, Prabhu, we have what we have, and what we don't have, we don't have. And he wrote to me, this is unacceptable. This philosophy is what ruins our society. That, what is this? Our whole ISKCON is ruined by this philosophy. What is this? We have what we have. I was surprised, you know, I have never met him. I go to Braj Bihari and say, look, why does he, you know, come so heavy upon me with, how should I mean, what is this? Why does he attack me? And Braj Bihari is laughing, he says, that's a joke! That's a joke! You know, he's, I just downloaded his interview. He does interviews on the death of his wife. His wife died, actually. And 8 years ago. But even when he speaks about... He's a joker. You know, he laughs all the time. Even when he speaks about sad topics, you can hear he's laughing. He's laughing and he's joking and he's even when he speaks about very sad things. It's quite surprising. I mean, it's good that people are laughing. That's better than... So, I didn't hear the intonation, and I don't know him, and I misunderstood. But even I see the person, even I hear the intonation, and how often do we misunderstand? Yeah, it's so often we misunderstand. So therefore, do not... Praise, do not criticize. Krishna says, there's actually a whole science, non-violent communication, or devotees call it compassionate communication. Compassionate communication. How to speak so as not to hurt. And it's sometimes people are hurt in such unexpected ways. Something quite innocent somebody just says something quite innocent and the person is so insulted, so hurt. It's amazing. Especially for us men, you know. So that's how he speaks. He does. So how does he speak? Yes, he doesn't criticize. He doesn't praise, he doesn't criticize, yes. Now, how does he sit? Now, to answer this question, you have to know what does it mean. First, we have to understand the question. How does he sit? It's no answer, properly. Sit properly. So what is properly sitting? Straight up, okay. Sitting is the new smoking. Of course, unless you sit as a yogi. Actually, anyway, we will not go there. We don't have enough time, and we have Abhinandan and Nithai Prabhu there. So, I will not be distracted, sorry. So, the question is, who are we speaking about? The sage. The sage who is in samadhi, who is peaceful, who is in full knowledge. So the question is, how does he speak means, how does he react to the duality of this world? There's good and bad happening. So how does he react? So last Sunday we were speaking how to suffer correctly. So, you know, there is a popular saying making rounds on Facebook, pain is unavoidable, suffering is optional. Pain will come. Is there anybody who never felt pain? Then we need to go to the doctor, because pain is actually a signal to protect us. But suffering, that means you repeat that pain, you keep that pain, you hold on to this pain. You give some bad interpretation to this pain. So therefore, Krishna says he doesn't praise, he doesn't criticize. So that's how he reacts to the duality, good and bad. Now, how does he sit? How can he sit? How can he stay peaceful amid? Okay, he doesn't criticize, you know, like somebody pushes me or, you know, gives me pain, and I sit. I don't criticize. But inside I boil. Oh, how could he say this? How could he? Especially if you, I notice sometimes in the morning when you chant japa, and if yesterday or 2 days ago you quarreled with somebody, oh, it's so difficult. Hare Krishna, Hare. Why did he? How could he? Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Go back, go. Just Hare Krishna, Hare. But no, but how could he? This is so wrong. This is so wrong. No, it's not proper. So he should be also peaceful in the mind. So the question of Arjuna is, how can he sit peacefully, undisturbed, amid the dualities? Okay, he doesn't speak. All right. But inside, how he is not disturbed. So the question is, how is he not disturbed among the dualities? And Krishna's answer is, like a turtle, like a tortoise. You sit like a tortoise. Jelva. Who has been playing with a tortoise ever? So you touch it and it pulls things inside. So, and then it's protected. Yeah? So we do not pull out our, we do not indulge in sense enjoyment. And of course Krishna says it's only possible if you yukta asita, and you can see there is some little hint of sitting, because he says in 261, the first drop of bhakti, yukta asita matpara. Asita is sitting. although you don't see this in translation, Yukta Asita means he sits focused on me. So in other words, and he explains it, he has a higher taste. Yes. So therefore, lower things do not disturb him. So we develop only by higher taste. So like a mother, you know, the child is doing nonsense, she gives him something proper to do. Or he eats dirt, mother gives him a sweet. And then automatically he gives up this smaller thing, right? So we develop a higher taste and we have a higher goal. I remember I noticed this when I was in our BBT temple, and then our BBT temple was actually being closed down, and all the 26 languages we said, okay, we are closing, 99, and where do you want to go? I said, can I go to Vrindavan? And she said, okay, you can go to Vrindavan. So it was still half a year before I went, but I was still in the temple, and I remember, before this, I was walking around, and I thought, what is this? This is not clean. Why did it not? Who is supposed to? And I would go to the person who was supposed to clean, then I would go to the temple president, then I would go to this, and even if I didn't go, I was disturbed inside by something. But then, you know, I remember, I walk near the same thing. There was one bathroom which was there were several bathrooms, but there was one bathroom, so somehow it escaped being cleaned, because it was in a separate place. And I remember I noticed I'm not disturbed, because I see something is wrong, but I think anyway, I'm leaving in half a year already, so anyway, what does it matter? I'm going out, I'm on my way out, so whatever. It didn't disturb me. So, the same way, if we know we are on our way out, we are going to Goloka, we are going to Krishna, we can sit peacefully, even if something is bad. Anyway, we mentioned last time, this is a prison. It's a good prison, sometimes. There are good prisons also, but, you know, prison is a prison. And we are going out. So, if something is not good in prison, but you're going out after a few days, will you go around complaining? It's just after a few days you go out. And this is a prison. I mean, of course, there should be no crime. I mean, there should be no... It should be proper, we should be merciful, but there are prisons. And this world is a prison for the adventurous boys and girls like us. Now, we are coming to the topic of today's class. How does he walk? So now you already know. Language means definition. He's peaceful. How does he speak? How does he speak means what? How does he react to the duality, good and bad? And how does he react? He does not praise or criticize. Okay. How does he sit? Yes, he like a turtle. And how can he be peaceful? Yukta Asyata Matpara, because he has higher taste, because he's focused on a higher goal. So therefore he can be, okay, so what to do? He can be undisturbed. How does he walk then? What does it mean? Yes! Yes! Because we have not only to sit, we also have to work and act. How does he act? Okay, sitting, okay, clear, like a turtle. That we like. We go and like a turtle. But how does he act in this world without becoming bound by reactions? Because oftentimes, damned if you do, damned if you don't. Whatever you do, somebody will complain. Especially if you do a lot of things, something important, like management. You know, always somebody, any decision, somebody will be dissatisfied. No decision, also somebody will be dissatisfied. Anything, always will be, somebody will be dissatisfied. Today I heard a class, be very careful, never criticize management. Because they will make you a manager. Or maybe you should criticize management, and then you'll make you management. You need helpers, assistants for managing things. So how does he work? How does he walk? So Krishna says in this verse, a person free from all attachment and aversion and able to control his senses through regulative principles of freedom can obtain the complete mercy of the Lord. So raga, dvesha, vimukta, istu. He acts also without attachment. I must have it. I must have it. And without hatred. No, not this again. No, I cannot do this. So without attachment and without hatred. But according to the regulative principles of freedom. Regulative principles of freedom means we see how does Shastra say, how do we eat, for example. Like, we need to eat, right? And this is one of the biggest sources of bad karma for so many people, for the world. Yeah? Prabhupada says, until we stop bloodshed of, you know, every year, how many? 90 billion animals are killed. 90 billion, that's just 200, if you count fish, 200 billion animals are killed. If you are a vegetarian, every year you save 155 fish, and they all give you blessings. They say, blessings, be blessed, because you didn't eat them. You think, how is it? Fish, I eat only two fish a year. Yes, but then to feed them, you have to kill 10 other fish. And then, you know, actually they counted how many. So Shastra says, okay, you eat, but you eat vegetarian, and you offer this to Krishna. You cook purely and with love, and you with good consciousness, and you offer it to the Lord. And then this pure vegetarian food purifies you, gives you good fortune, makes you elevated, purifies even the consciousness. We can tell you many stories after the kirtan. So, how does he work? He works without attachment and without hatred. He follows the recommendations of the Shastra. So he does it for the pleasure of the Lord, and then he's free. Prasadam adigachati. He gets prasadam. And prasadam means many things. Prasadam means food. Prasadam means mercy. Prasadam means peace. So that's how he walks. He walks following recommendations of Krishna, and for the pleasure of the Lord. Shri Panchatattva ki jai. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Are you scared of Abhinandan in time, Prabhu? Because I am. Okay. So, how do you react to the duality? Not praise, not criticize. How do you sit? With a higher taste. With a higher taste. And how do you walk? For Krishna?
And with principles of
following the principle, following Krishna's recommendations, principles of Shastra. He describes everything, how things can be done. So that we are happy, actually. Prasadam, he speaks in the next verse. Then you get mercy, and everything is good. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.